Kaite whakarongo koe ki te reo Erirangi Pōho, he parakuihi tēnei. You're listening to 95 BFM Breakfast. We've got a very special guest in the studio, Morena Mokotron.
Ata marie kauru, ata marie tamaki wāguan.
How are you going? You just returned from Glastonbury a couple of weeks ago. You're like pretty, you're a big deal these days.
Oh, am I? I don't know.
I feel like reaching Glastonbury status is like pretty big.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, we do have that kind of thing, eh? For people to consider you've made it, you have to have played in the UK as an Aotearoa musician, which is just some lame cultural cringe, but, you know, it is what it is, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, people have tried to book me for those gigs over there for quite a while, but it's like, the gigs run by Pākehā promoters for New Zealanders in London that only New Zealanders go to, and I'm like, man, do a real gig in London.
Yeah.
Do a real gig in England. So now I've done one, I'm like, okay, I'll take them up on those offers. I want to go back to London now. I didn't want to leave. So.
Yeah, how was the trip? Give us a rundown of sort of like how it all went and what you got up to. Because it was a lot, right?
It was a lot. It was like a lifetime of learning there. Eh? Showed up, Shaka lives in Brixton. So yeah, it's even just arriving there was lifelong dream to go to Brixton, to walk through the streets of Brixton. When I got into dance music and electronic music, it was through Soul to Soul, who were based in Brixton. So Brixton was like the, you know, centre of the universe in the late 80s. So it was like amazing going there and just being surrounded by, you know, Jamaican stores and jerk chicken everywhere and like patty shops and everything. So that was already cool. But we left pretty quick to Glastonbury. We were the first group to go. And so we got there early Tuesday. So we were there like 3 days before the festival started. So it was really different. We showed up and it was quite eerie. It was like an empty city, a silent city. So there was lots of people there, but it was all the workers. So and like even the footage from that part is just the three of us just walking along the, you know, the railroad. There's a railroad that goes through Glastonbury, like an old railroad. So walking down that alone, you know, and only 2 days later there was 50,000 people on that one street,
right?
So it was cool. But yeah, early on it was just like a food festival. Like they're kind of not allowed to play music early on because people just start getting too crunk too quickly, so it was just like a giant empty city with like really great food. So yeah, I even enjoyed that, you know.
That sounds like my dream come true.
A festival without all the people.
Yeah, and good food.
Yeah, and good food.
Just good food, yeah. So, yeah, like, I don't know how many stalls there were, a couple hundred, so you could pick almost anything. So, yeah.
And then you're travelling with a group, Puloto Underworld. You've got an amazing group of artists with you. Such cool people as well.
I
can imagine, just really fun to hang out all together.
Yeah, just an amazing group. Like, I mean, you know, the last big gig we did together, there was 20 of us, so it was always sort of like, why are the five of us here, you know? Like, how did you narrow that down? What was the rationale? But as soon as we got together, it was like, oh, okay, that's why we're all together. Because everyone's extreme, you know? Like, like Caleb is not a DJ. Like, K-Swiss, he's an Olympian. He's a, you know, top performance athlete. And he has to practice every day. So I was like, oh, yeah, right, 11-time world title holder. He's 20. How does that work? Did he get his first world title when he was 9, you know? Like, so, like, you got that. Papa Jack's just, like, amazing DJ selector, but also just the technician. Just, you know, really good with the tech, always with the cameras, always with the recordings, always following up, you know, is there going to be a, you know, you asked for a recording this morning. Well, she was doing them, you know. So just amazing DJ, inspiring, but also really hardworking. The twins are the hardest working DJs I've ever met. I got to live with them in South London in a council estate for a week, and it was like they never went out. They were just the whole time they were watching all the latest sets, finding out all the biggest tunes, writing playlists, and it was just like, man, you work so much harder than our generation ever did. So, and Shaka's just a star, you know. I don't think we know how big Shaka is. Like, you know, we made the mistake of trying to walk through Brixton with her, and I was like, no, you don't get to.
Oh, she was like getting recognized
everywhere. We just, we're all exhausted. So yeah, it was just an amazing group. But I mean, I learned so much from them all. It was wānanga the whole time, you know, like asking, what are your income streams? What's the streaming thing? What is TikTok like? What cameras do you use? Why do you do that? So everyone had a kind of different take on it. And so it was just, you know, sitting in taxis and Ubers in London and just having deep wānanga about, you know, and just a generational difference. I mean, I'm old school, I'm vinyl and T-shirts, but they're, you know, they're streaming and reels. So it's like, yeah, just lots of learning from everyone, but they're so inspirational. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I was really lucky to be with that group and learned heaps.
Cool.
And what was it like being up on the stage at Glastonbury? Like, how did that feel as a New Zealand artist performing to hundreds of people, you know?
I think what was really cool was it was a Kaupapa stage. So that, I mean, we were right at the very end of the festival, like the pyramids one end, Shangri-La's the other end, and we weren't even on the big stage at Shangri-La, we were on a smaller stage, Nomad. That was a Kaupapa stage. It was there for, you know, our African whānau, our Middle Eastern whānau. Well, we were the one indigenous group, Māori. We had all our trans and queer whānau there. So all of those groups were kind of had a big Kaupapa. It was kind of the activist stage. It was like the activist kind of, yeah, activist base stage, you know, like something between the two. So they already owned that stage, so when we got on, they all came to support. We went to support them, but so it was just this, yeah, just massive celebration of all our cultures. And it was really interesting seeing the way, you know, we were moving in all these equity spaces, but we're not part of those equity spaces, because those equity spaces are for wahine, for our queer whānau, our trans whānau, you know, migrant communities, and here we were, indigenous people in the middle of it, and the only ones. So it was really interesting, like, oh yeah, they've got these spaces for unheard voices, but it doesn't include indigenous, whereas down here it's all Māori Pacific, you know.
Yeah,
so it was
right.
It was really interesting, and I think you know, we just became sort of a like a magnet, you know. All the other indigenous performers from throughout the Pacific were there to support all our queer whānau. Everyone was there, so they just took over the stage, you know. They just ran the stage and danced and got down and entertained everyone. Someone was hanging from the rafters, did a split from the rafters, which felt like a health and safety. But yeah, it was just it was just nuts. I've never seen a party go that crazy. But I mean, even the organizers were saying, oh, we've never seen it like that. And the security had to lock it off, like there were too many people. So it was just, and what do you expect, you know, put seven Māori and Pacific Islanders on the biggest stage in the world, what do you think they're going to do, you know, like just literally lock off the whole thing, you know. So it was amazing. It was amazing.
It sounds like the nicest environment to be in a crowd, you know, just having fun. And
we're all like kotahitanga as well.
Yeah, we're all kotahitanga. Yeah. But it was sad too, you know, like my favourite act was Punjabi Hit Squad. They're the people who I've emulated. I basically saw what they were doing in the early 2000s and was like, they're unapologetically Desi. And I'm like, how can we be unapologetically Māori? They, you know, they in the same arena, they had a South Asian stage, and it was like a quarter of the size of our stage, and I was like, come on, it's Punjabi Hit Squad. That's South Asia's like, what, 2 billion people? Like, so we're pretty lucky.
I guess it just goes to show though, like there's so much at Glasto, and like you say, sometimes it's better to have those slightly smaller stages that have a more curated vibe and a specific crowd and are catering to those groups rather than being on the biggest main stage that's more mainstream.
Then again, you know, Shaka was on the big stage. She had Charlie XCX show up to her set.
Oh my
set
God, I saw that on Instagram.
Bunch of different celebrities.
Someone had like sent her photos of the crowd and Charlie XCX was there.
But you're right. It was just, there was a real curated vibe and it worked because we were all together.
Amazing. And then you did a bit of other stuff in London. You went into like Foundation FM and a couple of sort of community radio stations and stuff. How was that?
I mean, everything was in East London, so hometown with Grime and not to mention all the other amazing stuff that's come from there. So cool, both in Hackney. We went to, Foundation FM was cool. That was a largely wahine-led organisation. It's for, you know, unheard voices. So, but just, really well set up, you know, like it was the one. I usually take this huge road case, you know, gigantic, and you can't take that on the it was like Pride, so you can't take a giant road case on the what's it called,
the tube.
During Pride, like it won't. So I had to just take one tiny bag of portal, but they had such a good setup. I was able to pull off a live set, like just showing up with a bag of portal. So I was like, oh, we did see the tech aspects of what happens in the UK is real serious. They're real serious about their gear. But it was that thing, man, like, after I called them the Pulotu Baddie Squad, but after the baddie squad shut down Glastonbury, it was kind of no stopping them. So everywhere they went, someone would just set it off and people would just start dancing on the street. You know, people would just start mashing up the markets or mashing up the fish store or anywhere they went. So it was, going to Foundation FM, it was like, they were playing, but then I was looking outside and there was like people just dancing on the street just randomly, you know, like it That's was yeah so they, cool. they're quite hyped, that group, eh?
Yeah. Pull up to a birdie squad. I love that.
Very cool. Very cool.
I feel we should give people a little bit of context as well. Prior to Glastow, you and Shaka did a little bit of korero and wananga around this term hiko, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me about how that came about and what hiko is.
It was just we had some workshops in Rotorua at the beginning of the year. Myself, Papa Jacks, and Lady Shaka, and we were all doing two sessions each, so for the end of my session, I just said, look, we're in the right place at the right time with the right people. Let's have a wānanga. What do we call this music? And that was, I threw around heaps of terms because there are heaps of terms that are used for Māori electronic music. But that was Shaka that, who just said hiko, and it just worked. It was like, yeah, cool, you know? We also got to discuss it in London. I mean, in England, you know? In London and at Glastonbury. We went straight into interviews when Shaka arrived for resident advisor and, you know, they were like, what are the elements of hiko? And we hadn't had that discussion yet, but it was really interesting. You know, Shaka did it to camera, I did it to camera, and it was like, oh, right, you know. So we're still kind of figuring out what it is, you know. So, I mean, for me, when I spoke to it, and it just came out of my mouth, but it was like, I don't think it's about ethnicity. I don't think it's about any electronic music made by a Māori person is hiko. I think, you know, you could be not Māori and writing hiko, or you could be Māori and not writing hiko. So I guess for me that was the foundation. It doesn't relate to your ethnicity, because we've got plenty of Māori making electronic music which has nothing to do with Māori culture. So for me, if it's not that, then I guess hiko starting point, te reo Māori, has to include te reo rangatira, or should have some element of te reo rangatira. Two, pōro, actually believing in our instruments, our pre-European instruments. And three, probably just having a kaupapa, you know? What's the kaupapa? Is it just shake your ass in the club, or is it something, you know, something else? So, so more wānanga. I think the thing that got me, though, was me and Shaka did a studio session in, I think it's like the most boring part of London. I think it's Northwest, where all the New Zealanders and Australians live. It was boring. It's boring as. At least the rich neighbourhoods are rich. But she was just saying, like, you know, we were sort of getting down to it, and she just said to me, like, what's the rhythm? Like, every genre has a rhythm, you know, whether it's boom, ga, ga, boom, boom, ga, or is it boom, ga, or is it, you know, like, what's the rhythm? And it was like, because she's like, if we could drop that sample in, you know, maybe that's how we start these tunes. You know, that's the basis for reggaeton, you know, that's the basis for drum and bass. And it was just like, what is that rhythm? So I think that was one of the big learnings of, if we're going to start a genre, it does have to have a rhythm, and those rhythms probably have to come from kapahaka, and probably haka, and probably pui, I'm guessing. So that's probably the next step, is to go, what are our rhythms? I'm probably going to have to record them, and then that's just cool. Probably also just sharing them. So the wānanga is ongoing. But
that's so cool. That makes me think of like Moana and the Moa Hunters, when they sampled all the poi and stuff.
And they did it ages ago. And I mean, they didn't even ask, what's his name, the portal player? I can't remember, the famous portal player back then. They didn't even ask him, they just sampled his stuff. They got told off for it, but you know, they were ruthless like that. So, you know, if there was a place for sampling in the 80s, like, without asking, I'm sure there is now. But ongoing discussions. What is this music? How do we make it? What are the ground rules? And but I mean, at the same time, man, like, even while we were away, a lot of people started running with it. A lot of people are filming a lot of stuff, doing a lot of content around this idea of hiko. They're already putting on events, and they're, you know, outside our circle. And it's like, you know, don't gatekeep, you know? Like, I'm just like, I saw that with so many genres in this country. I'm like, just let it grow, you know? Like, don't make it that it's one group who decides. So I think it's up to whoever, you know, writes this music to decide what it is. Yeah, so.
What an exciting space. Oh,
yeah.
Very
yeah.
exciting. Thank you so much for coming up and chatting to us about your journey in Glastonbury and London. And yeah,
so excited for the next steps for hiko.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think for now it's just about, I've just got to start writing again. Mm. It's just been, I mean, I've done like 18 gigs in a row. Usually I do two or three gigs a year, and then it's like, oh, there's been 18 gigs in the last year. So there's no space for writing. So right now it's no gigs, just writing. So, but you're pulling in those influences, particularly from the twins, China and Rain. Like, yeah, they're so hype. I learned so much from them, but I don't think I'll sound the same after hearing them play. So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Cool. Exciting. Thank you so much, Mokotron. We're going to close out by listening to Kōpeke. You're listening to 95 BFM Breakfast.
Yeah. Taiyama, Indiana. Mokotron. Kōpeke, tua te whiki, tātai hea tō whakahiki. Kupe āriki, tuku tāwhiti, puhitani whārau, tāheri. Uri o te nōtā ki tāmaki, mai te akamatua, tāwhaki. Tai e ana, e me ana, moko tua mihi nei, chewada. E hara mai tētahi āhua, penei ki tēnei re ringa a tāhua. Kōpeke tūmeke makariri rawa, tūhātere wera. Kore e whakaai, te kemara, kūmau i te reo, te heamara. Toho te wā, e whemara, e mara, e mara, e mara. Mara, 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 mara. Thank you.